remain standing for the reading of the scriptures together. And our text from this morning will come from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. It's on page 732 in your pew Bibles. From the prophet Isaiah, and we'll read chapter 11 together. And there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, and their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In that day, the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. He will raise a signal for the nations, and will assemble the banished of Israel, and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The jealousy of Ephraim shall depart, and those who harass Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not be jealous of Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. But they shall swoop down on the shoulder of the Philistines in the west, and together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall put out their hand against Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites shall obey them. And the Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt, and will wave his hand over the river with his scorching breath, and strike it into seven channels, and he will lead people across in sandals. And there will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant that remains of his people. As there was for Israel when they came up from the land of Egypt. And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. This is a statement of history. Isaiah 11 is a statement about the history of the Bible. He is making a statement about the history of redemption, the history of the world. And what he is saying in this record that we just read together, he is saying that history is dominated by the root of Jesse. Even when all seems utterly cut off, even when it seems that there is no hope, and everything is cut down to the stump, there remains a glorious hope because the root of Jesse endures. He's speaking here of the invasion from Assyria, and that due to the invasion, Israel would be laid waste. There would come a time when the nation of Israel would collapse, and the last king seated on the throne of David, the final king, King Zedekiah, he would be removed from his throne, and the last thing he would see before the enemy gouges his eyes, the last thing he sees is his household slaughtered, and then he is led away in captivity. There is coming a collapse of the nation of Israel. They will be cut down to the stump. But even when all seems utterly dark and without hope, the root of Jesse endures. And in fact, the root not only endures, the root prevails and conquers. Look with me at verse 1. He says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse." Kids, you ever seen a stump in your yard or a stump in the park and it's been cut down? Or if not a stump of a tree, perhaps you've seen where a bush once was. We have this on the side of our house. We have a bush that had been cut and there was a little stump that was left. Well, what often happens in those stumps? You often see these little buds, these little shoots, and they start to crawl up out of the stump. What is Isaiah doing? Isaiah is using an image which you and I would see on a regular basis. And he is saying, there is coming forth a shoot, there is coming forth a twig from that stump, from the stump of Jesse, from the line of Jesse. So there's this family tree. The family tree of Jesse. David, King David, was in Jesse's line. And what is Isaiah doing? Isaiah is pointing ahead. He's pointing down the line, down the tree, down the list of descendants. And he's saying, there's coming forth this rod, this shoot, this stump from the line of Jesse, and a branch, look at verse 1, a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. What is Isaiah doing? Isaiah is pointing you to this ancient promise, and it goes way back. This root of Jesse dominates history. From the time that our first parents fell in the darkness of Eden, there has been the promise that the seed of the woman would come to bruise and crush and destroy the head and the works of the devil. There has come that promise, and that promise has been passed down from generation to generation. Isaiah is picking up on that promise, that seed of the woman. He is this shoot coming out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. So what's he saying? He's saying that the root of Jesse will endure. The root will bear the Spirit. He's not just talking about a twig. The root of Jesse is a person. He is that promised seed. He bears the Spirit. Look at verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And what is that Spirit? Look at verse 2. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. This promised seed, he is anointed. He is the anointed of God. He is the promised Messiah, the promised anointed prophet, priest, and king. So kings would be anointed. Priests would be anointed. Prophets would be anointed by the Spirit to preach, to proclaim, to heal. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Why is Jesus called Christ? It's not just his last name. He is called Christ because that is his title. That he is the anointed. And what is he anointed with? He is anointed by, look at verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord. And what is this Spirit? Look at verse 2. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And all the treasures of wisdom and understanding. Where are they found? They're not found in the human mind. They are found in him. All the treasures, wisdom, understanding. Of the Spirit of counsel and might. Where will you go for counsel? To whom will you turn? Whose words will you hear? The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge, true knowledge, not just the accumulation of facts, but true knowledge, and taking truth and putting it into practice, true knowledge. And what is true knowledge? What is the root? What is the source, the fount of true knowledge? Look at verse 2. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And what is the fear of the Lord? It's what we read in Psalm 2. You rejoice with trembling. What is the fear of the Lord? Look at verse 3. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Christ himself. You know, this is a description of Christ. That Jesus himself, the eternal Son of God, that he is anointed by the Spirit and by the Spirit of God. He is characterized not only by wisdom, counsel, might. He himself is the perfect embodiment of the fear of the Lord. What it is to rejoice with trembling. That you have this quaking delight before the majesty of God. Jesus is anointed with this Spirit, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And as you, what is a Christian? A Christian is someone who is in union and communion with Christ. You are one with Christ. And as Christ is anointed with the Spirit, so you also are anointed with that same Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him to preach, to proclaim, and that same exact Spirit, the Spirit that hovered over the face of the waters, the Spirit that came down and anointed Christ there at the waters of the Jordan, that same Spirit is at work anointing his people. You possess the anointing.
What does the Apostle John say? 1 John 2, you have an unction from on high. You have an anointing from on high, and you have knowledge. What does the Spirit, what does the anointing bring? He brings knowledge, a true knowledge. Not, again, not just accumulation of facts, but a true knowledge of the soul, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Well, the root bears the Spirit. He is anointed. And as He is anointed, then you also, in union with Him, you also are anointed with that same Spirit. So He bears the Spirit. And then also notice the root is not only anointed, the root speaks the word. So the root is anointed by the Spirit, but the root also speaks the word. What does Jesus do? Jesus is not only anointed by the Spirit. What does He do in the fullness and power of the Spirit? What do the apostles do when they are clothed with power from on high? What do? They speak. How does the gospel go forth? It goes forth as a message through a speaking, through a proclamation. He speaks. Look at verse 4. With righteousness He shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And then notice the second half of verse 4. What do you see? He shall strike the earth with what? Kids, can you see this? What is He striking the earth with? Look at verse 4. He shall strike the earth with the rod. And what is the rod? The rod of His mouth. No one ever spoke like this man, the soldiers said. That's why they couldn't arrest Him. They were sent to go arrest Him in the temple. And they came back. And the authority said, why did you not arrest Him? And they replied, John chapter 7, verse 46, no one ever spoke like this man. They went to arrest, and it was their own hearing that had been arrested. They go again to arrest Him in the garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus goes out to meet them. Who do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. And how does He reply? I'm He. And at the very word, I am He, they physically fall back. The root speaks the word. And when Jesus speaks, it is a word of power. It is a word of force. It is a supernatural word. Look at it. Verse 4, with the breath of His lips, He shall kill the wicked. There is a word that is spoken. The root speaks the word. Where does He continue to speak the word? Where does Christ the King, anointed by the Spirit, where does He continue to speak the word? You search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, Jesus says, for there they speak of Me. Here, what is Jesus doing? He is speaking through the word, through the Scriptures, flaming off of the pages. His Spirit speaks through these words, these inspired, infallible, inerrant words, and the word of Christ goes forth. What does the Apostle Paul say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. This word, the root, what does He do? He wields power. And how does He wield power? It's through the spoken word. He's anointed. He speaks. And third thing I want you to see, when He speaks, the word transforms.
Did you notice the description? Verses 6 through 9. Children, what would happen if you found a snake hole and you began building a fort around the hole? What would your parents do? The nursing child, he says, shall play over the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. What is Isaiah saying? Isaiah is speaking of the power of the spoken word. Language. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He's speaking of the power of the Word that will bring peace, transformation, reconciliation, effective, lasting change. He's speaking of this coming age. He's speaking of a future day when the grace will be so transforming. He's speaking of a future Eden when creation itself will be renewed and restored. And between now and then, between now and that restored future Eden, where this good earth is renewed and restored, between now and then, you have little hints and little previews of that transforming power. Every time a soul is brought from death to life, you have a little foretaste of that transforming power. The power that raised Christ from the dead, the power that will renew at the end of the age, that is the same supernatural power that is at work in you. That anointing which rested on Christ, that anointing which rests upon you, that is the anointing that is at work and able to save and to change and to transform from the inside out. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. How does the Apostle Paul describe Jesus? He is our peace. How does the Apostle Paul describe himself and the preachers of the gospel? They are heralds of reconciliation. Reconciliation between you and God. And as it turns out, which produces reconciliation between man and man. You want to see estrangements healed, marriages reformed, friendships bound with an indissoluble bond. You want to see people of one heart and soul, you go to the Word, the Spirit-anointed, transforming Word, which is mighty to save. Before this Word, the gods and idols fall. The root is anointed. The root speaks the Word. The Word is transforming. And that Word, last thing I want you to see, that Word draws the nations. What does he say? Verse 9, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Verse 10, in that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples. What is he saying? The nations are going to be drawn to this Christ. He is not only Israel's Messiah, he is the Savior of the world in every sense of the word. Not just of ethnic Israel, but of the nations as well. And of him shall the nations inquire. Look at verse 11. And his resting place shall be glorious. You look at verses 12 through 16. It is one record after another of the nations falling under the rod of Christ. under the kingship of the Messiah. He will raise a signal for the nations, verse 12. Will assemble the banished of Israel, gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. What do you see here? You see what the church father Athanasius in the 5th century talked about. What did the 5th century man talk about? He said that Jesus' work continues. That the risen, ascended Christ continues his work. And what does his work do? The anointed, transforming, victorious word of Christ. What does he do? He continues to gather trophies. He continues to subdue the idols, to purge the gods of the nations. He continues to do his work, the Spirit-anointed word. Look at verse 16. There will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant that remains of his people, as there was for Israel when they came up from the land of Egypt. Well, the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon the root. And because it rested upon the root, he rests upon you as well. Even when cut down to the stump. He speaks the word, and with the breath of his lips, he kills the sin that has us in a vice grip. He heals so that the leopards can lie down with the young goats. And the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Would you pray with me? Our gracious Lord and our everlasting Father, Lord, would you extend your hand, or would you raise the standard? Oh, Lord, would you let the colors fly? Lord, let the kingdom of Christ expand. Would you expand the boundaries of Zion? Would you build up her walls? Lord, let glorious things be spoken of Zion, the city of God. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you, by the breath of your lips, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, that you would put to death the sin that is within. Would you anoint? Would you steady? Would you cause the knowledge of your gospel, the knowledge of your truth, the knowledge of your glory to expand? And let the gods fall. We ask this in Jesus' name.